The debate on the Sabbath question. According to the terms agreed upon, 6 nights would be given to the debate, beginning December 11th and closing December 19th.
J. O. Corliss would represent Seventh-day Adventists, Mr. Picton, the Protestant churches.
Each speaker would have a half hour to speak on each evening. There was to be no applause. The debate would take place in the Wesleyan Church. Ellen White was intensely interested in what was to take place, for when the debate was proposed she was given in vision a preview, together with potential hazards. She described Corliss as an excellent teacher, able to make things very plain and interesting, a man able to speak with power and great clearness, Letters 39, 1895, 130, 1894. She had been acquainted with him since his boyhood days. She knew him also to be a man of quick temper, high self-esteem, and with a proclivity to lash out at an opponent or supposed opponent. Her great concern was that he should put his full dependence on the Lord and speak with great discretion. She hastened off an earnest letter warning Corliss that if he were not constantly on guard, making Christ his strength, he would reveal the natural temperament of J.O. Corliss. She urged him to keep in mind that the universe of heaven composed his audience. "Your only safety," she urged, "is in joining yourself to Jesus and keeping close to his side." She recounted how Jesus met opposition with "It is written." With a grateful heart, Corliss accepted the message of caution. Much time was spent in earnest prayer for God's special blessing on his work and that truth might conquer. After the second evening of the debate, Ellen White reported, "The Lord has used Elder Corliss. He has spoken with power and great clearness. Truth is indeed bearing away the victory, and light is shining upon many minds. The debater is a clear, moderate spoken man, but he has arguments weak as weakness itself. I felt and still do feel that much is at stake, depending upon the result of this debate." Some days later she added, "The discussion lasted 6 nights. Much prayer was offered to God during this time, and the Lord manifested his special grace and power in presentation of the truth. Error appeared weakness, the truth, strength." Midway in the debate the interest was such that the discussion was moved to a large hall, which was well filled every evening. The minister of the Wesleyan Church and Elder McCullough sat on the stand together with the chairman of the meeting and the two speakers in the debate. Describing Corliss' presentation, Ellen White wrote to Edson, "He, Corliss, went through the discussion trusting in God, not relying upon himself, and the truth was not dishonored in his hands. The man stood before the people as if bathed in the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. He was dignified because he was conscious of the fact that he was the mouthpiece for God." As she continued, she gave a word picture of changing attitudes on the part of the listeners. As the debate continued night after night, the minds of the majority of the people were turned in favor of the truth. There were some who allowed prejudice to control them to such an extent that they would not acknowledge truth even though it was as plain as noonday. Time and again the chairman had to call the meeting to order as Brother Corliss showed up the inconsistency of Mr. Picton's arguments, for they were so delighted with the keen, cutting truth that they could not restrain the demonstration of their pleasure. These demonstrations on the part of the people in behalf of the truth made the opposing party feel rather crestfallen, and they insisted that the chairman should hold the meeting to the rules of the debate. All through the debate, Brother Corliss kept insisting that his opponent should produce a text in favor of Sunday keeping, for the question of the debate was, "Do the scriptures teach that Christians should observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath day?" The debate ended with Elder Corliss exhorting the people, arraigning them before the judgment bar where all would be called to give an account of the way in which they had improved their opportunities and valued their privileges. So impressed was the audience with the outcome of the discussion that they could not be restrained from thunderous applause, and the chairman commented that aside from the spiritual benefits of the discussion, they had enjoyed a rare intellectual treat. As she recounted the experience, Ellen White reported to Edson,
They did not take an expression of decision on the merits of the debate, but the applause showed that their sympathies were on the side of the truth. And in a final word she wrote, "As a general thing, a debate kills the interest, but in this case it has not had such an effect. There is still a good attendance at the tent, and about 27 persons have signed the covenant, and there are about 20 more who are keeping the Sabbath that have not yet joined the church. We hope for a good church in Ashfield."